Oh, okay, great. The time is 5:43 p.m. and I'm calling to order the August 14th, 2025 meeting of the Emeryville Public Art Committee. We can proceed with our roll call.
Yeah, if you can repeat your full name. Ronald is not here at this time. May he join us. Erica, unable to join us. Mike may be able to join us. David is not joining us. And Vicky Joe. Yeah. Can you see your name in full for the purposes of the recording?
Oh, did I say yes?
You did.
Yes. Yes. Go ahead.
State your name.
Say your name.
Yeah. Oh, say my name. Oh.
Full name.
Vicky Joe Sewell.
Thank you. Rick.
Rick DeHalle Flores.
Corinne.
Corinne Walker.
Judy Wetter.
I am Eva Evans, Secretary to the PAC, and to my left,
Carrie Vadney, City of Emeryville.
And no public comment.
So we can move on from public comment on to the approval of our July 10th, 2025 regular meeting action minute.
I mean, we moved.
I second it. There you go.
No. That was Rick Cavada, Flores, and Vicky Joe Sewell. Second.
Thank you.
And is there any comment or discussion? Not, we'll call them. Fine. Do you want to say yes or no that you approve the minutes?
Yes.
Vicky Joe?
Yay.
Rick?
Yes.
Karen?
Yep.
And Judy?
I wasn't there, but I think I can still.
You can still. Yeah.
I read it. It's great. Say yes.
Making good time. I guess we can go on to our action.
Well, we have a few. You were the discussion. Regarding the 40th Streetscape Public Art consideration, which will be your first item, I do want to offer that the BTOC was invited. Members were invited to attend tonight should they want to be part of this discussion, but their secretary, but I don't think any of evidence chose to do so. But what I'm asking for tonight, and I don't have a presentation, I had some visuals attached and I'll review them. Bring them up to the screen, is that they conducted six different workshops, meaning the artist CJ Chen and business assistant, six different workshops. And through the last of the workshops, they really sought a survey of species that might be iconically representative of Emeryville. What did people feel resonated with them? And so there's no art before you tonight. What they're asking of is that you, as a body, talk about what could be representative and, you know, thinking about Oaklandish versus the city of Oakland. The city of Oakland has a logo. Oaklandish is probably far more recognized and takes the oak and then does the root system and mirrors them. And so thinking about the potential to have something like that might be graphic for the city of Emeryville. Looking and seeking feedback about mixing and matching maybe one animal or two animals, or, you know, mix and match two animals, or mix and match an animal with some fauna. And so they provided a list, and from that list, and they did it in, I'll show that to you in a moment, they provided that in the numeric order, right? So if it's at the top, then more people said turkey than said crow if it's lower. And then I will be showing images just after, alphabetically, just for purposes of being able to search through them. I just prepared that alphabetically. And then a representative photograph. We can either have some discussion of that as process, or I can just jump to those lists and the imagery. And then I think there's the other thought is, if you would be able to include in any recommendation, elimination of things. You know, perhaps they're exotics or they're ubiquitous, or it's something that just feels like, oh, the plane tree is really known in Berkeley, so no, we have it less here. You know, we might have it, but we have less of it. Any of those kind of like pragmatic considerations that might be less representative of Emeryville uniquely. So looking, and that's for the whole project, right? So there, we're looking for sort of what rises to the top that's iconic and used, and to remind you all, this is for a logo that might appear on some signs as a circular object, and in other signs would be depicted as something riding a standard bicycle on a sign. So you might also think about it in that context, right? It, you know, is, can a bat ray look like it's on a seat? Maybe it can, might be harder with some of the trees. And thinking about it, and I meant to have that ready to pull up, but I can pull up something I've sent to the artist to show what that standard bike would be. So they'd be standalone and then paired with a bicycle that would be, they would be represented in two different ways on whatever that iconic imagery was. We're asking for recommendations. So what the, I'll show you something before I ask you for the feedback. So ranked order. And the other item, there was one more thing I was going to say. I'll just give you this. For example, turkey rises to the top. Turkey, herons, raccoons, Canada geese, crows, squirrels, pigeons. These are not images that people created. I remember what the phrase. These are not things that people created images of. They are rather things people named, said that they saw, submitted a narrative that they were interested in. The other thing I wanted to offer is that except for those that you say, hey, you really shouldn't have them in the project, probably all of these could be somewhere in the project, right? If it's on this list, it's not going to be necessarily part of the icon, but it could be represented in a sculpture that has 35 different images in it, or a bus shelter that has, you know, many different cutout species in it. So, you know, if you're like, I really would love a tree to represent Emeryville, but I just don't think it works in the icon. The bus shelter, for example, could have a lot of trees represented in it. So this is kind of what's the universe of what's in it. And I would also say that maybe your discussion could include things that are not on the list that didn't come up and that might be either icon or part of the icon. And I want to talk about that. For example, the garter snake that is very colorful, endemic to the Bay Area, was talked about as the possible icon of San Francisco, is in a large mural on 53rd Street. So, like, could that be branding that could be built on? And doesn't come up in this discussion, but maybe with your familiarity with the public art program and some things, I know that Joey Rose has represented some bird species in his bus shelter program, any of that past art, if you want me to bring that up or share that with you, I think that as well. I think if it's okay with the body, I would move through past this list, the ranked list, and just to the imagery, so you have a little basis to like, oh, that's what a blue-bellied Western lizard is. And I didn't do this for, you know, if somebody said a cat, I didn't give you a picture of a cat, but, you know, if it was a specific species that you might not have, instant recall of what that species is, I've included an image about it. And in some cases, during the workshops, there were some lovely stories people told about these species that kind of gave them greater gravitas because of the stories told. So, you know, there might be that there's a little narrative about why something is picked. And certainly the waterfront was one location of this discussion. So there are some waterfowl and birds that are particularly found at the shoreline that came up. And certainly the heron and the egret, I know in my prior work in Berkeley, there was a a banner program, a facade signage program that has incorporated those. And they're certainly been in our public art program as well.
But those are special birds.
They are. Yeah. No, that. And so I'm not to be dismissive of it to say
no. I mean, it's. Yeah. And I was going to say, the only thing I saw on that I think you need to be more specific about what duck comes here. Sure. The coot that comes here does not look like a regular duck.
I know. Then I can pull up a coot. It's not the most attractive.
No. Does not look attractive. So, and the squirrel, which squirrel is it? Is that gray squirrel or the red squirrel?
I'm pretty sure it's gray squirrel.
Yeah, I know.
Ubiquitous brown.
So, brown squirrel. Red squirrel. Well, the birds are probably good because, yeah, I love the idea. And the fish. The fish we have is the black, the snipe, what is it called? The snipe.
We saw somebody, Mike had added, Mike Roberts, who's a senior civil engineer many years here in the city of Emerville, at one of the workshops, did a lungfish. And he's like, because that's the fish that's out there.
Yeah, we want those fish that's in the marina.
And I certainly see bat rays in the marina.
Yeah.
One of the thoughts that might be about either the plants, the trees, or the other, meaning landscape, bait hides or riprap, barnacles and oysters could be put in animals, but might be thought of in it as habitat in a certain way. That it might be that it's possible to keep that standard state issued bicycle. But perhaps have something in the foreground or below it, such as barnacles or oysters or eelgrass or riprap or, you know, some of these elements. So that might be sort of a third element to think about, and not on the bike or in the circular image, but in the display of considerations. So I'm happy to, you know, round robin, go around the room and get reactions, or if you want to have a conversation. However, this is best facilitated to do the two actions that are asked for tonight, which is to eliminate those things that you think might be distracting. And then kind of, I'm sorry, you have a question?
No, I was wondering, what are those purple flowers called? I don't know, but I love them. They're along the coast, you know, those.
Calendronia.
Okay. I didn't know the name. That's a rusty. Yeah.
There are some at the art co-op. They're also on Christie Avenue.
Yeah, yeah.
The bees love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is we have bees in Emeryville because of all the gardens that are
there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we got native bees in Emeryville.
So rather than me going back and forth, maybe we could focus on a discussion that works for you.
No, otters.
That's fair.
Keep that for Santa Cruz.
I've ever seen turkeys in Emeryville.
Yeah, I have.
We have turkeys.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I have.
In Watergate. I've seen about the 48th Street.
Yeah,
in our area.
They come over now. Have you been seeing a deer by our house?
No. I will offer this. Here's what I will offer as staff. That I have spoken to them about the use of the crow, and that the BPAC meeting, one of the new BPAC members coming with their transportation expertise, did a beautiful paper cutting of a crow. So it was kind of, that's kind of just stuck in my mind. And the woman next to her did a beautiful poppy, and I was just like, wow, we should have the BPAC cut up and do a bubble garden. There is, as I'm sure you're all aware, the murders of crows that are present, and it's not incorporated in other people's work, but it is kind of up against those more elegant, you know, whether it's
egret,
an heron, or an egret, and so maybe that's a conversation to be had, is if the thought that one of those four might be the birds to be considered. And then maybe something to pair with that.
What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are also small birds around. I mean, we get in the gardens at our buildings, we get small birds too.
I love that in our garden we get small, but we get the crows and they control everything.
Well, the control, yeah. I personally am not for celebrating the crows.
I know they control my little birds.
They're more crows here than any other bird.
I know. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't have to honor the pigeons.
They haven't always.
No, they come and go.
Yeah, now I see more crows. I walk. On Marina. Mm-hmm. Nowadays I'm seeing crows and pigeons, which mm-hmm. I never saw before. But yeah, I love egrets and blue.
But it's sort of tricky if we pick a fish that no one recognizes to become a symbol for the city.
I don't know if we can do it.
As opposed to Oakland is named Oakland because there was a big oak tree. It symbolizes things. To me, Emeryville is symbolized by the Bayshore.
Me too. Bayshore, that's our beauty. Yeah.
That's what I see.
That we have that little bit of white sea right there.
And you can see it. The Bayshore is a home for all these creatures.
Exactly.
Maybe not the otters. I've never seen an otter here, but
Bayshore. They like a little bit of fresh water.
Again, as you said, a background, could be a seashore with something like that.
And there were, if you go out to the flats, there's lots of those little, like sandpiper kind of birds.
The peeps, we call them.
Yeah, the peeps.
The California rail is endemic to the area and endangered. So it is a smaller bird, probably not recognized, this black bird right here. And the Anna's hummingbird certainly came up in conversation. Yeah. So if you were to go little, that's probably something that can be iconically introduced and is, an option. Like if you want to go deep on the shore, you could pick the heron or the egret or a pelican, and then you could have an alternative. They are looking to give you a couple options, right? So maybe there's
two. So it doesn't have to just be one. It could be,
So I'd say two birds and maybe two things you could imagine paired with that.
I like that we have red and yellow finches. Those are the beautiful finches that come.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that.
Oh, I see. We get both colors in our garden. Someday you might get a red one.
So I heard a lot of agreement around the shoreline. So maybe having at least if it's not a bird that is associated with the shoreline, perhaps there's some other element that elevates the shoreline.
Dried bass. That's, you can catch it, and it's an interesting fish because it swims into the fresh water and it swims back here. Mm. It's a fish that can go into fresh and salty water. And it lives in our bay. Ronald and that's what they catch the most of here in Emeryville.
Ronald says he'll be right off.
Oh, good.
Good.
And it's quite a beautiful fish. Strong and beautiful. And large.
Yeah, I think, diversity of flora and fauna is a good fish.
And I think the marina, those boats take fishermen out a lot.
Yeah, there's if anybody on their phone wants to look at Fish Emeryville, they have photos of a series of different, very bright, in some cases quite orange
is orange.
Yeah. One day I was walking and somebody put out, a shark. It was very small size, but he said it's shark. I don't know. But
did he not throw it back? They're supposed to throw back the shark.
And the bat raised
me. Yeah.
Well, so, I think there's also, if anyone wants to dig down the Rotten City Cultural District, is there a little hunkery to anything that might be iconic of Emeryville versus simply a bucolic waterfront community?
The sawtooth.
Oh, even architecturally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think industry, that shape, yeah. Mm-hmm. Old warehouse shape.
It's true because Emeryville is a mixture of industrial and natural. But on the other hand, can't crowd too many up. So.
Yeah, especially if there's a bike.
I'm going to say that our town hall shape I always can recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a really old building that was the townhouse or that old bank on San Pablo,
oh, yeah,
where they had the game room, where they had the game Chinese game room, now it's a bar, what is it?
The bank club.
Wally's.
Is there a desire to have a building in the...
Only in the outline, if they decide the architecture.
We're talking about what represents
Emeryville.
Yeah. It's really hard. It's a stretch to say a fish represents Emeryville. Mm-hmm.
No, right. Fish isn't.
It's beautiful. It can be an element, but... Don't look at a fish and say, oh, Emeryville.
The nice thing about the birds is that they go from the shore to inland sometimes. Yeah. You know, you could be on 80 and be like, there was a heron.
You do see those herons still even at the aquatic park there, Emeryville.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty inland.
One could imagine that this could work with a bird with something else in its feet. Or its craw, whether that's a flower in the craw sort of seems like artistic license. A fish in the craw seems like life or death in circumstances. But is there anything, maybe popcorn around the room, that it feels really, this feels iconic of Emeryville?
I'd say fennel and poppies, just because we have so much fennel in the garden.
The fennel is so beautiful too. We
yeah, think fennel of the is fennel so good.
It'd be so beautiful.
Yes, fennel. Mm-hmm. You know, all your we have fennel. Yeah.
Fennel is a plant I'd recommend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fennel. Yeah.
And because everybody else takes poppies, nobody takes fennel. Fennel is so pretty.
I would say 2025 is definitely the year of poppies in public art.
Yes.
Like Corten was in, I don't know, 2012.
Yeah, that's right. But this fennel, that is a fennel that was horticultural fennel that was brought over by the Portuguese to eat, and it's gone wild. There's no bulbs in those fennels anymore.
And are you, seeds. I know you've had some interest in making sure that things might be native to the area. Are you okay with the fennel being an exotic?
I'm only telling you how. Which immigrants bought it. And they all lived along the triangle here.
Yeah.
All the Portuguese lived along the triangle here. So it definitely was an immigrant.
Oh, I heard some excitement around fennel.
Yeah, and I think it's quite beautiful.
Yeah, very delicately
drawn. Yeah, it's very delicate.
I've seen printmakers use it. It's quite always good. And you can make some nice fennel pieces. But not good for hay fever or allergies.
Well, representing it, that would be less of a concern.
Yes. That's the plant that looks the best, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So far, unless Rhonda gets her, there's Dura there on fennel. Is there consensus around that or other thoughts?
Now, birds, I don't know. It's a wild thing how turkeys are taken over. Very wild, but they're not very becoming.
As a regular commuter on the San Pablo corridor, I will tell you they're being much more associated with Albany and North Berkeley.
That's correct. Yeah. That's
correct. Isn't there
more there? Oh yes. Yeah. I mean, it's they're all coming from Tilden, right? So some are coming into Emeryville, and I have a funny story of a turkey in Emeryville. And I know there was an iconic one, or, you know, a named one that was on the Powell overpass that has now passed away and has it, you know, given a name like Fred or Frank or, you know, something like that. But I'm not sure there's enough story that if we put it on a sign, people would be like, is Emeryville calling themselves turkeys?
Yeah. So what was the name of this bird again?
The Godwit Marble.
I like it because that shoreline marsh that actually was saved by, you know, and there's a lot of species we don't see in that marsh.
Yeah.
None little critters live down there.
I will tell you that the Godwit Marble, while we were having the fair, flew up and landed right next to it. And then I went over to a local artist, Jeff, who was having a kids in art, and her son had done a paper cut. They had cut images, and I've submitted it to their website. But it's almost, it just felt like there was some kitness there. Mm-hmm. He represented the Godwit, his paper cut, in a way that Lachlan ended up looking like some of the ways that shoreline art has been created, the mudflat art, you know, with that sort of an odd angle and sort of an odd. And so we said, could we use that? And she said, as long as you give them credit. And so this is Jeff's and Guillermo, the artist here's son, but it is a representation with paper cutting of the Godwit, quite charming. And more specific to the marsh than the heron or the egret,
I think it's a little like us. It lives on our special shore.
Godwit and fennel. So, Ronald, welcome.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to add you to the conversation. What we are talking about, if there are possible combinations of animals, or bird, you know, birds specifically, and flora or fauna that could be Bentleyville, and this species, the Godwit marble, right here, flying and with its swooping beak, is being considered maybe one of those things that could be representative, with a lot of the conversation being about the shoreline, and that the shoreline is iconic of Emeryville, and it's one of our strengths to represent. And that fennel was also a species that was being enjoyed in the gardens and found both at the waterfront in areas where Selma lives, but in the Triangle as well, and sort of uniting the community across across its geography. And so that's one pairing that's been talked about, and maybe there's some mix and match. And there's been some talk of some fish, trying to think about, is there a fish that's iconic or recognizable, even, I think, was that was the other challenge. And I don't think there were any that made it onto this list where I have pictures. The Western fence lizard was once was seen by a BPAC member and is known for both curing Lyme disease and having this bright blue, who's I guess the female's bottom, and it's on the fence right at Powell and Horton, where the Biketopia, the bike workshop that is there, they have on the fence. But other than that, I don't have any pictures of amphibians, reptiles, or fish to. I will also say that there was a really lovely discussion of a former school child raised here in Emeryville and now staff the city of Emeryville working with the aquatic program about raising a swallowtail, a butterfly, in the classroom.
Yeah.
And at the workshop, there was a family that was on the side of ECCL looking at caterpillars, and the life cycle of swallow tails just seems to be flowing through this project for them. So I will say that wasn't something that rose on the list in these surveys, but they did come out in the stories. And so if you wanted to consider,
well, that's what insect, butterflies lay their eggs on the fennel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just that I tell you that.
And it is, yeah.
You know, and it's a story of the rejuvenation of what was
weed,
all paraffin plants and all kinds of things like that, that, you know, in neighborhoods that have blossomed and as well.
Yeah, I would put the
butterflies.
Yeah, put that with the milkweed too.
I guess interestingly enough, the crows didn't hear about the list because the crows on the
list. I was looking at pictures.
We're dissing the crows.
God,
not on my street.
What did you say, Rick?
I said not on my street. But
they are.
Do you feel like the crows are emblematic of Emeryville?
No.
I don't know if they're emblematic, but they're here.
Yeah. They're new. I think they were not here.
No. I've been coming to Emeryville and working in Emeryville for almost 28 years. And it has only been the last 5 years, I would say.
Absolutely.
You know, that they
started longer than that. I mean, on my street, like on Vallejo Street, they just like from 55th all the way down. Mm-hmm. And I'd say at least 10 years, maybe longer.
10 years.
Yeah. Well, that's and it's seasonal, though. It's not, it's, I think, it's seasonal. And it might be two seasons because it's not all year round.
No, they come a couple times a year.
Yeah.
So we had asked
Brown. No, I don't want the clerk's
test.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we need not discuss it. But we kind of went round robin or trying to about what you might find, what you personally find emblematic of it.
As far as animals are concerned?
Yeah. Animals or plants or fish or birds or insects or reptiles.
Yeah. Awesome. No. Get those two.
We get those too. I do like possums.
Well, I mean, skunks, but.
Yeah, skunks too.
Possums were on the list.
Skunks and raccoons kind of live near the water.
Yeah, but possums kind of look disgusting.
Raccoons were the highest ranked mammal on survey responses.
Yeah, the many raccoons.
I definitely see a lot of
people. But they don't like it.
I smell a lot of skunks. I don't sing, but at least.
All three of those mammals live here.
They live here, but I
think the question has a feral cat.
Yeah, I have a video of a feral cat beating up a raccoon.
Okay.
That's right.
I would be very, I mean, you can tell me I'm not a resident of Emeryville, but my husband and I, for many years, had biked down 9th Street to drop him off at his office where we would count cats that we saw. Then we'd get to Emeryville, and I would get to Emeryville, he would stop, and we would never see, I would not see another cat. So it was always together. And I realized it was because they were up in the apartments, and I have seen them on the waterfront. But it was just always such a, like, there were three and bear and none. Three, none. You know, five, none. And so it was surprising because on the website, there are at least three or four pictures of kittens that have been submitted and not a single dog. And I think of this as such a dog town.
Yeah, right.
And we have three dog parks or four at this point. The City Hall's back porch is a de facto dog park. And so I was just surprised that the dog wasn't listed. There are many dogs here. So I think if you're going to talk about cats, you should
talk about feral cats.
Yeah, and they're all around.
And they're all around. And they're, in Rome, they put feral cats on their information. But that's what rules the town, the feral cats.
I could see a feral cat certainly tripping down into that rotten city side of it.
That's right. What it is. Who goes for the rats is the feral cat.
Yeah, that's probably why we don't have Rome.
Now, we really seriously get a lot of feral cats.
Yeah.
Because we're in our backyards.
And you find that could be iconic.
Have you ever gone to the Roman Coliseum? There's so many cats in there.
I have.
There's their whole society.
I have been to Greece and seen the cats.
And out here, you know, in Berkeley, every third Sunday or every third Thursday, they'll neuter the cat for you for free. She catches them.
Is there
and get some neutered?
It's
and she feeds them.
Yeah, you do. And they keep the rodents in check.
Yeah.
So we currently have like a fennel godwit swallowtail, something that's kind of occurring. Not sure if any of those go well with a cat. Maybe the fennel does.
The cat will sit there.
Is there anything elsewise that might go with a cat? Like that you can see a pairing.
And what's the purpose?
The purpose of this is to select two sets of two pairings for alternative icon development by the artist CJ Chen for inclusion in the wayfinding sign for the 40th streetscape. So this is part of the larger project, but one of their deliverables is iconography, which they had provided kind of an E on a bike, and people might have thought that was interesting, and they could go back to that, but with the discussion of so much.
Well, if you have hummingbird sage, you can put the hummingbird with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes, I have a ton of hummingbirds mm-hmm. from that sage.
Okay.
And it's pretty to reproduce.
So are there kind of three thoughts here? Hummingbirds with hummingbird sage, feral cats, and a ground squirrel or a mouse or a something.
Well, I think you should put the cat with, what would the cat go with? I don't know.
What about a sea otter?
Or maybe even the...
They're cute.
Grass.
You missed the discussion where somebody said no otters.
But they don't live here.
They don't.
They're always being rescued from here, though.
They live in Santa Cruz.
Monterey. You know what? I got a friend, and sea otters are always up and down, and they rescue them around here all the time.
They do?
Yes, seriously.
I believe you if you say your friend does it. I just never seen one in Amityville.
Yeah.
Sea otters like the bay?
Yeah, they get rescued. I'm telling you.
Get hunted up and see.
There was a specific effort to try and introduce them. There was, state had a workshop at the senior center to consider reintroduction of sea otters. The bones found in the shell mound included not only sea otters, but beavers. So beavers were at one point not thought to be endemic to California, but the shell mound has. An international book on beavers specifically references the Amityville shell mound and the presence of beavers as evidence of that.
So turf grass could go with cats.
Turf grass?
Uh-huh. That's the pampas, called pampas grass, really. It's a weed cut from South America.
That's pretty invasive.
It's very invasive. It became at the turn of the century, too, South America, but it's all through here.
Feral cats and grass.
Yeah. Okay. It's called turf grass there, but it's pampas grass.
Are there...
And you can try to stop it. Go ahead. Like blackberries is the plant I put there. Blackberries. That's the fruit of Oakland and Emeryville. Blackberries. Mm-hmm. Instead of fences, they planted blackberry bushes.
What about blackberries and feral cats?
What about blackberries and feral cats?
Do you like that?
Yeah. That's the fancy.
Did you like
pumpkin better? Well, no, I don't like invasive species. We can put eucalyptus trees too.
Well, blackberries, I don't know. Did we bring these blackberries? Yeah, we probably did. They're called Himalayan, so they're not from here.
So is it feeling like that fennel, godwit, swallowtail, or godwit and fennel, or swallowtail and fennel? Is maybe what you're focused on and feeling good about.
But do add the blackberry in. It would be a beautiful crib. Whatever animal you could have. Blackberry leaves and vines are lovely.
And then I'm hearing with Rick's strong aversion, feral cats and blackberry, and I'm hearing hummingbirds and hummingbird sage.
So that only goes for the rotten city part, if you want to go on the get down.
I think that's, does the city want to dip towards that, or does the city want some new refresh?
From the bay.
Of the bay. And so that's kind of three pairings, and maybe more, and maybe feral cats and blackberries doesn't get enough votes. But is hummingbirds and humming sage, so a smaller bird, and then the godwit as the bird with maybe the fennel and the.
So if you have the butterfly and the hummingbird, you've got those pollinators too.
Yep. So, so is this feeling like something that is the review you want to have given and the direction you want to give to the art is that the icons could consider these elements? And is there a motion, or do you want to discuss it further?
What kind of motion would we make? These are just suggestions.
You would say that your recommendation to CJ Chan to consider the following species for design development. And then if you want to look at this list any further and say, and we really don't think you should consider any other species, you know, some whatever short list of species that you're like, it is inappropriate to have this exotic or this prolific or this non-representative anywhere in the project. Like, I get, like, it might be fine to have a pigeon in a funny way at the foot of a bush shelter, but you don't want it to be represented in the city. But, you know, maybe.
I personally think there's been enough reptiles represented in murals around here.
And I'm in the garden all the time. It must be warmer, but I never have seen a lizard yet over at my side of town.
Me neither.
Or the snake, unfortunately.
I mean, lizard. In 2040.
You haven't seen a lizard? And Salma, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I was wondering, I looked at the Google. I don't see the name Willips. You know those long beak?
Yeah.
You have?
The Willet is often found with the godwit.
I see them every day. Like, I see them so.
There's the clapper rail. I don't think the Willet. There it is. There's the Willet.
Which one? This one?
Yeah, the flying one with the black wing.
Willet. Okay.
Yeah, that's a willet.
Yeah, I think probably,
that's a beautiful bird.
Yeah, and that is, they're all the time sitting on the rocks, and they have this murmuring also with the babies, you know. I see them all the time. I love them. So, I think they are
pretty. Rather than the godwit or a possible consideration?
Apparently. I think water waves and the village.
Oh, she wants waves. Okay. Yeah.
But the
waves
and
village,
how's
that?
Waves and
willets. And did anyone, I'm hearing waves, but eelgrass or bulrush or oysters, barnacles?
I like the rocky shoreline.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
But it's not natural.
No, we brought those. That's well started. Yeah. Okay. That's why we like it. We brought it in.
Invasive.
I know.
So, you know.
Like us.
The immigration, nativeness, and invasion have definitely been themes of this discussion. But you had strong feelings about celebrating the shore, which the Willet and the Godwit do, about the restoration of the community with the swallowtail and the fennel. And then there was just this kind of maybe fun and the rotten and kind of
emblematic, it's more like
blackberry and the feral
survival pampas. Animals, you know, like the pampas grass and the fennel.
Yeah, and then the hummingbird sage and the hummingbird as maybe a
those are native and
native and a well paired set as the three kind of possibilities for the artist to consider representation with, and so we're looking for a motion to recommend that the artist consider those pairings for iconographic imagery and incorporation in the wayfinding for the 40th project. And it doesn't sound like there's strong feelings about removing any species from consideration, that you're willing to have any of these somewhere in the project. So you need not make or remove.
As long as they're identifiable as a certain kind, not just a general duck shape or a general squirrel.
You vote for coot as the replacement of duck.
Right.
Okay. So that's the second part of it. And then coots be the duck.
Yeah.
That's a coot?
No, it's a duck.
What a hoot? That there's a coot?
It's kind of an ugly duck that lives on our
way. It seems like the duck you would use for the rest of the culture.
I think it's perfect because it sort of has this needs a nose job, that duck.
And so the second part of the motion, if I've heard the body correctly, is that the coot should be represented in the project of the waterfowl with the ducks that are represented in the project. Is there a motion either stating that or amending it to what you think the body has said? And a second.
I can make that motion. It also sounded as if we weren't really thrilled with the lizard. Should we include that?
But that's from the icon or from the anywhere in the project that you're saying?
We're focusing on the icon now, aren't we?
That's what I'm trying to clarify.
Oh, do we? Yeah, it not for the icon.
Not for the icon.
And I think at this point you've eliminated everything except for what's listed from the icon, and it's just if you wanted to. And so the discussion of the coot is for the full project, right? That there aren't other mallards and other things wandering through it, but the coot is our duck.
Right.
And then you could say
roast duck.
No lizards because we don't see them. Though I think it might be fun if there's one, this bright blue lizard.
That might be ecosystem where it's really warm over there.
Right. Okay. So do you want to eliminate lizards or not from the full project? It won't be. Is that what you were trying to?
Well, I guess I'll leave it in case it you does. Want like one.
Yeah, just in the ubiquitousness of the project. And no overrepresentation of reptiles.
Yeah,
right. And then we're over that.
Yeah. So the motion is those three pairings possibly, with the rank order being godwit willow, swallowtail, fennel, one. Hummingbird sage, two or three, feral cats and hummingbird, two or three, if you were to rank those. They did ask for two pairings, so they might eliminate one of these.
Oh, sure.
They would be okay with them eliminating.
Hummingbird.
What?
I vote hummingbird, two.
Is that a consensus position? Hummingbirds, two?
Yeah, because she goes. But then she could have looked up other native plants that aid hummingbirds. That'd be pretty. That'd look
nice. With her style. Sage. So those three with possibly feral cats and blackberries falling out because they, as Scope said, that they would look at two, the coot representing ducks anywhere else in the project, and no over-representation of reptiles. Just a few iconic ones. Is that the motion as you're making it, Taryn?
Did you have a list?
Yes, it was Godwit and Willets.
Oh.
Did you want to replace the Godwit with the Willet? Maybe they'll together. So Taryn has made this motion. Is there a second?
I see.
Seconds? Is there any discussion or shall we call the vote? We've got the motion and second. Salma.
Yes.
Ron.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Rick.
Yes.
Taryn.
Yes.
Judy.
Yes.
Thank you for that good work tonight on that. Second action item. And Salma will need to recuse yourself from the vote, though it would be nice if you're available for questions. But you should also refuse yourself from the discussion of it as well. The second action item to you for tonight, and you do still have a quorum without Salma voting. You showed up, Ronald. Thank you. the Rotten City Cultural District, every residency has a product that comes from it. One of those is creating banners, and so that's just going right into the Rotten City Cultural District program, so that's not coming before you as a body. The work before that had been a work produced by Thomas Jones, and you considered that in the Ohlone action item before you last month, and you said you were awaiting any response from the Ohlone. And so the city hasn't taken any action to receive that donation. And I believe that our ABG art group still has that work if they have not installed it somewhere. Robert Ortball did a performance art piece that was his contribution. Like it was help in the community. Eugene. Sui is still producing an architectural design, actually, I think, for the Art Center.
Wow.
Is the end of the contributions piece. But Salma prepared this piece before you during her residency at Bay Street in the month she had in July.
June.
And with the intent that this would be gifted to the city. For the city to consider a location, framing it as well. Can you clarify the material that it's on? Is it on
canvas?
Yeah. And it's about approximately what?
The multimedia, Scott.
Oh, acrylics. Mixed media, actually.
What's the other media?
Mixed media, like it's a paper, pen and ink, and acrylics.
And then it's approximate dimensions?
I think it's 30 by 40.
That's what I would, if she wasn't here, I would have said
I thought, I actually took a picture of it.
When I was in the residence, yeah. And I would, without you here, I would have said it's about 3 by 4 feet. Mm-hmm. So there are some places in this building that that could go. The senior room, which is a music room for the students at Emory, at ECCL, has no artwork in it. And we have considered it for the purchase in the past. There's been concern about possible damage because of the Kelly Ording mural, but that's some plexiglass has been placed on that, and it is continuing to work well as the teen center room. So this might be appropriate, given its calming presence, for consideration in that music room, and is otherwise a pretty, it's got four walls and they're all bare except for some windows. So as staff, having reviewed all the sites we have available, I am thinking that it might be appropriate, particularly if a plexi cover could be put upon it and a sturdy installation, which, you know, the art fund would need to provide the funds to do the installation, but that might be a really nice location. Mike Ferrugia's work is on the outside of that room, so those of you who attended that opening with the school children there, and it's then in a room past that. And then, of course, the senior center, where Salma has a sculpture already located, does still have wall space and there are patients there. But some of those walls are very large, so this might be too small a piece in some of those contexts. But for example, there's a poster here of Saeed's work. We could take that down and place that there, or there are at each of the ends of these walkways. There's pieces of about the same size that are by another Emeryville artist who's passed away that we also have hanging. And one of the, and then the other thought is, with a donated piece, because public art funds haven't been used for it, we can place it in like offices or conference rooms or a place that the public can't enter. So that's another consideration. If like we just have some white walls in the planning room conference, like maybe that's another place to consider it. But my first thought is that senior room. I don't know if you wish to have discussion of it. The action tonight, should you wish to take it, and this is only a verbal report of the works there, is that the action before you is to consider, and all donations valued over $250 have to be considered by the city council. So you're being asked to make recommendations to the city council for the acceptance of the donation of the work somewhat respect. And you could, and then you could say, and we recommend it for a location, or you could say, we leave it to staff to figure out, working with the artist, an appropriate location. Celebrated in concert, purchase award. Yeah.
So did the city council approve every art donation?
Every donation that's over $250, yeah. So, for example, this piece, you can kind of see it through there, that
Joseph?
Yeah, Joseph, when he passed, his heir donated to the city, and it was brought to the council, the pieces that are
the ceramic system. To the session of heir.
Yeah. And some other works have been offered to the city that have not been accepted.
That's a good thing.
The rhinoceros
would be an example on some busts prior to earlier. It is a consideration. There will be the cost of the installation, ongoing maintenance be a part of the collection.
Does this piece need to be framed or anything?
It's on canvas. It doesn't have to be framed.
I mean, it'd be hung on a rod, perhaps. Yeah, depending on
and so, then you could put
glass over.
I would prefer not.
That's right.
But it's not.
And that would be.
Glass over.
I would
think,
Dixie.
Yeah.
And that is fair. I was saying that it went in that school room. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a requirement, mm-hmm. and that if that is not desired, you probably don't want to place it.
Yeah, I've been jumping in school. I've seen this work is not a texture.
Hold on, just one minute. Yeah, so it sounds like it wouldn't be appropriate to put it in that room, given the considerations.
I don't like Plexi because it has a lot of textures.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly
Plexi will destroy.
You can't see, yeah.
And so your hope would be that it would be installed on, say, a rod hung?
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. If that's the case, the back side of the elevator shaft over here has it, depending on how long it could be hung from, might be nice to carry it against that wall, though there is that southern sun, so there might need to be something in the window to protect it across, but there is, it, that might be worth considering.
So, Kent, I'll motion that we put it before the city council and leave it to the discretion of the employees and the artists to work what would be the best location.
That's a motion. Is there a second?
Okay.
So Ronald made the motion. Judy made the second. Is there any discussion or question? Are you ready to call the vote? Salma is not voting on
voting.
Vicky Joe.
Yes.
She has this. Rick?
Yes.
Karen?
Yep.
Judy?
Yep.
And Ronald?
Yes.
Making good progress tonight.
Thank you. People, everything leaves.
You're like, look at my picture. I know what I want. That's what I want.
That's what I'm waves and the village.
Waves and village will be a comment. You asked that I bring this item regarding the visual art to you tonight to consider in advance of the call in January of 2026 what the budget schedule should be of those grants. You have funds sufficient to do as many grants as you want. You are in a new financial footing where the city is not giving $150,000 this year or next and may not return to, or may particularly, one of the reasons they've decided to do this is not only the financial situation the city finds itself in, but also that the budgets, the funds that were affected by those were fairly healthy, right? They were like, no programs are going to stop because we're not giving those monies right now. So you could probably, I would say, staff capacity is no more than eight, and that's pushing staff capacity. And that would be $140,000, I think. Or you could ratchet that down, right? You could say, you know what, we're getting a lot of walls that have been covered and maybe we don't need to do as many. Certainly this program wasn't considered to be a mural program. It was supposed to be an area where artists could stretch themselves, explore a different media, maybe do multimedia, maybe work with another artist, right? Kind of the most creative or unique. They could do this here because it was kind of low hanging. There weren't a lot of parameters on how the funds were to be used. And so I think what I have before you is just that so far we've had two cycles with 12 grants supporting 11 artists, meaning that one artist has received two awards and have granted $160,000 with grants ranging from $6,500. So some have not sought the entire grant amount and been able to do a smaller.
So do you think we should keep every year the same artist can keep getting grants?
No, you could certainly work to do that. But the artist that has gotten grants is Juan Lopez, who has done
the ceramics,
the mosaics, four at ECCL and now one at the Senior Center. And it's certainly, for example, if the Emeryville Police Station were to have its lobby be a site, and they wouldn't want a mural because they'd worry about graffiti as people angry at the police department came in and were in their lobby with no eyes on them. But they might very much like mosaic, and I couldn't think of a better word. You're right.
No, it's
right. So I don't know that you
I'm just trying to figure out.
Yeah, I don't know that you want to preclude, because he's kind of become, like, he kind of has a collection here in Emeryville for it. And is the senior center is very pleased.
And everyone likes it at the school, too.
Yeah. And I have a presentation that I'm happy to share with you. So I'm going to stop sharing this. And I'm going to share with you. I think one of the thoughts as you think about, you know, how many grants do you want to do is how many spaces are left?
That's the big question.
And Sharon Wilshire received the packet and she's like, do you think the PAC might want to consider doing less than 8? And I was like, maybe, but there are about 20 sites.
But what if we have people who do other things besides murals?
And we've had, that was what was in the slide I had up that I think it's been, I think it's been 3 sculptures. So one of them has been taken down. So there have been 7 murals, 2 mosaics, 5 sculptures.
Did we have mosaic? We had mosaics, so maybe we'll get more mosaics.
Yeah, and we could also try and get the call out. I mean, if that's an interest, we could. There are a couple mosaic installations in Emeryville that are well liked, but those artists probably weren't given these visual art grant call because they're not Emeryville artists. But they could.
You don't have to be an Emeryville.
No, you don't. So I'm just saying we could specifically reach out to the if you're interested in more mosaics. Because I heard that.
And still, again, at our call, can we tell people to come to businesses in Emeryville and ask people if they can
go? Yeah. So, sorry.
I mean, if it's about art, visual art, it sounds like we're putting limitations on what the art can be. So, we're saying, well, we want more mosaics, so we don't want. We don't want murals, which is fine, but after that it should just be like, okay.
Oh no, I'm not saying we don't want anything.
I think it was more like we would proactively seek additional mural mosaic applications because it has been more limited.
Not necessarily the mosaic of this particular one particular
art. Right. What I was saying is to maybe expand that to other artists so there's more competition.
No, we're telling us to do more outreach.
Yeah.
But
that's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, and I think photography, as Anna doing her capstone reiterated to you, is underrepresented in the collection. Mm-hmm. And there might be some opportunities, and Rotten City Cultural District, we started to talk about that with ABG of like maybe we could, because it's interesting to have Erica come sitting here and Vicky Joe and Judy, right? They go back to the Rotten City Cultural District and how photography is more limited in the collection. Well, maybe there are some exciting murals that could be photorealism.
And they could be printed on metal.
Right.
Or printed on other things.
What could a photographer be in partnership to get a visual art grant to do a thing on one of these?
Locations? I just think that can still be what we say is a mural.
And I also will say that 2 retaining walls were put on the list, which may lend to mosaics, could be murals, could be photo installations. And
could be sculpture.
Could be sculpture, but these are seat walls. I'm not sure that.
Oh, you mean a relief sculpture?
Yeah,
it's something that.
Yeah.
Works into the.
There's an art bench that has been wanted at the senior center, and the peace pole that came up in terms of.
The Ohlone Indian
that could be. We could use that as a site that somebody could consider. That would be maybe a wooden. Different sculptors could be participating in that, maybe partnering with somebody who could do the inlay. But so those are potential collaborations that you might, with this next call, say that you're interested in something that works with the students at ECCL. The principal has asked for a mural or an activation on the site that involves the students in the art program they have there. He's very interested in the students having paths to careers in the arts. And then the Ohlone representation, we've talked about if there was consultation of the Ohlone, might there be a site or could there be a project that there could be a visual art grant that is targeted to that. And so here is ECL, some of the facades, exterior facades that are available to the public that one could imagine a collaboration with students on. The police department, they saw the fire department's mural and they said, we want one too. and also that same building, the doors right behind there is that room I was talking about. And I think there's something, I must have done something where I got I think there's some words that were supposed to be on here, but this is the pole that we're thinking about re-representing in wood or metal or on one of these poles out here, right? So there could be a variety of metal media that this could be represented in. This is that interior work I was talking about, police station. The exterior of the pool, something hanging or a facade or relief here. So there are some places that just don't lend themselves to media, to murals, and so we hope that we have made a response to them. The thought is that this location needs seating, right, and maybe an artist could design something.
Yeah, we've been talking about that for a minute.
That's a minute. This is newly added, this Horton Landing seat wall that was put in recently. The Stanford Park wall, one of the artists actually that lives here in Emeryville had proposed this previously. The seat walls that are here in Doyle Halls Park, this kind of came up with particularly about the question of could something honoring the Ohlone be integrated in an existing project? And this seems to lend itself to that possibility. Those are all public sites. So the bevy that I showed you was probably about 10 public sites. And these are all private sites. Vicky Joe has raised that the lobby at the Nellie Hannon Gateway, they'd like to have an interior mural on.
And there's someone, artist, approached me about the outside of the bridge over by the train station.
The pedestrian bridge?
Mm-hmm.
And it's come up in community promotion grants before.
So I don't know what the code is about putting things.
Well, there was one that was posed there.
Right,
that,
but it was in the community promotions grant. And so it might be appropriate to put it.
That was a big snake going up.
I understand. The mural's like. The trouble always is finding the place.
Mm-hmm.
The right place. But that is another spot. But I actually think people always forget about the swimming pool.
Yeah.
Sculptors.
Nice from mosaic.
Something that was water worried
about.
Yeah.
Right.
Something appropriate to the aquatic environment.
Right.
This building, it has both a Hollis address and this is the Hollis facade of 1320 and 67th Street. Applications for the site were submitted in the last cycle and this business, which is hit by a lot of graffiti, is very interested in partnering.
I bet doing the project with kids could get a lot done on that one.
Yeah, and it's a very large wall, so there might be that a creative
break it up.
That's the one on Hollis.
It's on 67th Street. This facade is on Hollis, so it's the northernmost property on Hollis. We had talked a little bit in the Ohlone conference that there is the possibility of replacing these now damaged installation at the Amtrak. This may be complicated by the ownership and site access, but
they might want them at least to come down and be repaired.
Right, and there might
and be clean.
Yeah. Float Toys on Doyle, the Greenway. This had previously been a site in the last cycle, as had Yuko Works on the Greenway had been as well. In the discussion of the Ohlone, we talked about how a street mural here on the private property adjacent to the Greenway could really elevate this park and make it feel a lot bigger in that context. There's no vehicle access there. I think that's the last one. So I can stop unless, does anyone want to see any of these anymore? I wasn't looking for any action related to these sites. I do appreciate suggestions of additional sites, and I took the note about the bridge. And certainly no artist is going to be told that they have to be, the program doesn't say you have to use one of these sites. You just say in the available time, it might be better to try and go to one of these than try and find out who owns it, get them to pay attention to you. We found that was kind of difficult for artists to do. But if they already have a relationship and have started to have those conversations, that's certainly possible. So we're starting with about 20 sites. Maybe we have 21, 23, you know, between things they are added. And so the question before you is, do you want to change any of the criteria, loosen or tighten or increase outreach for, and how many grants and what budget do you want to put forward?
What was the maximum on the maximum? So my feeling was that people could apply for any amount, but there was a maximum.
$17,500.
Okay.
And they can't apply for less than $3,500.
Okay.
That's how it's going.
But I like that you don't have to apply for 17.
Yeah, you could do that other mosaic or, you could find a site that nobody else is looking at, that, you know, somebody's doorway. Some of those locations that we talked about for the lending program might be places that could be used for visual art grants too.
Well, that's a lot of grants. That's a lot more money. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. So what I'm looking for as guidance is, do you want to try and do 8, or are you feeling more like, let's do 5, see what happens with city funding, maybe be able to carry it out for more years rather than doing it all at once? Or are you really happy with how the program worked last year? It had 7 grants and put $120,000 out. And, you know, you might, if you have a budget of 120 or 140, you may get more grants than that if there are smaller.
Help me understand, how much money do we have in the budget, and is it just money that's coming out of the budget towards the grants, or is that money also being replenished by other monies?
There is no replenishing of the funds at this time.
Okay.
You have, after what you have encumbered, which is, you know, $500,000 to do the 40th Street, $300,000 for neighborhood convergence. That you have about $1.6 million that's unencumbered.
Okay.
And so I'm saying use 10% or less of that for the next year's visual art grant. And the question is, do you want to use 10% or do you want to use 5%?
Okay.
And, you know,
got it.
And we don't have any. The projects coming up that would give us any money in our coffers.
There is a atrium at 67th has deposited $185,000, and that same developer has not put art in. They've just created
revenue. So we have got.
So it is possible, but the project hasn't been moving forward, and so they just haven't been talking to us, and so I don't know when or if, and will they sell it to somebody who has a different perspective about how they would do that? You know, if they sold it to Wareham, for example, Wareham always puts art in, so I don't want you to count on those
ones,
but that it is, and I think I put that in your staff report, that there is this potential for this 185, and you know, if you were to do no other capital projects, but you were just to do this as a cycle, for you'd have 10 years of it, right? You know, or 20 years, because you're doing it.
Last year you picked up art that we got a lot of bang for our buck.
Definitely. Prior to the visual art grants, the city was spending about $68,000 per mural of a similar size. You know, those artists clearly benefited from it. So it's a trade-off between, you know, expanding their practices, giving them legs, or versus spreading that further into more artists. But certainly the community was very happy with the proliferation of.
But they were smaller, hopefully smaller.
Yeah, some, yeah, like,
no. Hopefully.
Yeah. No, and I don't, I think the caliber of artists that were seen in the visual art grants made it very clear that the people who didn't feel compensated at 10,000 felt it was appropriate at 70. So is there a motion for
I thought we should keep it at the same level.
At
the 10%.
The 120,000.
And I second.
Let me just double check one thing.
That one gives it to a lot of art.
Yeah.
So you think, how about 122,500? Because that's exactly 7 times 17,000, you know, and so if everyone went to the bags, I'd be $2,000 short. And then the committee would have to figure out who not to give the 2,000 to. So I hearing a recommendation by Rick with a second from Vigio for $122,500 for and no cents for the 2026 visual art grant. There is a schedule, the web page is up that says we are not yet accepting applications, but we have the following schedule and we expect this to open January 2nd and you'll have till February 28th to apply. And I am trying, and when the business license mailer goes out in December, there will be additional businesses that may say that they have locations they'd like to be considered for a visual art grant. So we may have additional that we can add to this. We plan to redo, and it might not be with the support of the Rotten City Cultural District, but at least myself will be available to provide references to insurance, references to property owners, you know, to do a workshop both during the day hours and an evening hour workshop as we did in the 2024 call, which was so much more successful than the 2022 call, which was undersubscribed. So we're hoping to build up.
Do you know who owns the brick buildings beside the city hall here? That whole row of
we do, and they've received facade grants. So I have their, I don't have it, but we have it in the
department. So they have facades.
They've received facade grants, and a new tenant is going in there that has an interesting overlap with the cultural district that's like a audio production and like event space.
And those niches in that building would be nice for metal murals or for mosaics. Right next door to this brick building.
Yeah,
archways that are decorative built into the building that frame whatever artwork would go in there. I've always thought they're big enough to be seen, but not too big. So they fit for $17,000.
It'd be nice to have something at the police station somehow because we've only put one thing out there that I recall.
Yep.
And it also, that whole stretch out to the water doesn't have a lot of art, outdoor art at all.
That's true.
And it would just, you know, help harken back to.
How much did that other mural cost?
$17,500.
Is that all? That, what a bargain.
Indeed. I will say, though, that our process requires artists to seek the approval of adjacent properties, and Watergate is a hard nut to crack.
Really?
They didn't want it.
And the artist has to navigate the HOA, getting on the schedule for the HOA. The HOA doesn't necessarily take a motion, even if somebody suggests a motion, doesn't get a second.
You're talking about it going into Watergate or anything that's around Watergate?
Just driving there.
Because they're adjacent. So the visual art grant program is written that an artist needs to seek the approval, but it has to go and talk to anybody who's next door. And Watergate is unfortunately 300, you know, 600 people to go talk to, so they can't go talk to everyone. So it's a flyer and a mailer and HOA, and it's just a little more complicated.
But it's a seek, it isn't get approval.
That is correct. And we
when they said, so if we don't take an action, what's going to happen? I said, we're going to be putting the mural up. Right.
If you do take an action, we're going to do it. So.
Well, right. I mean, then it would just be, but I mean, what we said is if you express really strong, united opposition, that will be understood and perhaps the mural would be brought to another location or it would be changed in its elements. If it was, you know, somebody said, wait, that has a racial component and it's defamatory. The city wants to hear that and understand that and have a process that people can
express their concern. And they didn't like the racial component?
No, that was not at all. I'm just saying, for example, should somebody have brought such an issue and the city needed to consider it. Mm-hmm. That's why those rules are in there, right? Mm-hmm. So that there is public process for this thing, isn't it? I mean, the classic example was putting the mural up across from the co-op and then saying, I'd like to look at a bare wall. And it was art. I mean,
I know, look, I could hear all day from them about that.
Sorry.
I still hear about that because
still.
And it was just, and I also believe there was never going to be a win for that. Yeah. So sorry, there was never going to be a mural they wanted there.
So I just bring it up as an example that we may never know why people oppose it, and they may have strong feelings, and we want to make sure. And you're the PAC in the past has advised staff that they want to make sure. I will say it is the thing the artists feel the most kind of encumbered by, and. You know,
I hope she's not defeated, but
no, I think we did right by her, but I don't think she has a great, I mean, I don't think it was a great process for her have nobody showing up at the meetings, not being able to get a quorum at the HOA, having it scheduled when she was out of the country, me trying to represent the, you know, and it is potentially because of that, the most onerous staff component when we feel the need to support a process that it's not working. So I'm
sorry about them.
that is the context in which I say.
So maybe we don't have the next mural there.
And I think the first mural, you know, it was successfully implemented. I think people are very pleased. Yeah. The Watergate was out in great numbers at the opening and very happy. So
maybe the next one be easier.
The next one could be easier. Yeah. And, you know.
The guy who did the mural next to the artist go, remember, they care. Yeah. There's so many people in the work that care nothing about her. Have no opinion. It's oblivious to them. They live with it, never see it. It's all because they care so much.
So to get us back to the action, as I understand it, Rick made a motion. Vicky Joe made the second. It's to have a budget of $122,500 for the 2026 visual arts grants call. There'll be at least 20 sites. As staff may add from the business license. This is not part of the motion. I'm just giving you background. Business license, the bridge that Vicky Joe referenced. Certainly the two sites in the police are already in the slideshow. They're ready to be in there. The motion is just the money in the 2026.
So I suggest that if you know are there artists to tell, so I'll be telling too, I promised I would, or you know owners of buildings that need art or might want art. Mm-hmm. Like someone you know has a walkway that might want mosaic. You know, you could do stuff on sidewalks and next to park, like the edges of those things, mosaic.
We'll say that. The pedestrian bridge really has to be something special. Otherwise, Graham's will fight it. Probably public market people.
Honestly, it's Scott Donahue's piece. It's a piece by Scott Donahue of two pieces of a young, looks like a girl, but they're young boys' portraits. I think they would look better at the pool. And that's what I'm going to go tell them. Mm-hmm. they look like they're swimming. Mm-hmm. They're going to look great in the pool. They're waterproof. And that's the right scale next to the pool, not next to the bridge. Not really the right scale, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They get lost on that big bridge.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I mean the pedestrian bridge, especially because there's that sculpture right.
Oh, he's talking about the pool, the wall right where you enter. But still, I don't think it's the right scale there. Mm. So I'm going to. I think be great by the swimming pool. The kids look like they're swimming. That'd be really good.
So there's a motion and a second regarding the budget for the 2026 call. Is there further discussion or are you ready to do roll call?
Roll call then? Can I?
Sorry, but that pedestrian bridge between Marie Station and the public market already has had some discussion about if the public market project gets built, and that would be a mosaic stair going up, I thought.
Have never glommed onto that mosaic stair. Okay.
Well, they didn't look too bad.
I think it'd be
pretty.
Yeah, their master plan has never represented the implementation of that.
Oh, I would just like to take that particular pedestrian bridge. I'd like to take it off the thing.
It's fine with me.
It's currently not in the presentation, so yeah. It's the note to not. Okay.
Well, I didn't know who owned it or what or who.
Well, it was public-private partnership that built it. At the same time, the Amtrak station was built.
You haven't discussed the South Bay, which would also probably need to be pretty special. Yeah. But that is also another location. Not in the presentation.
Do you want it just? You know, if it's really a place for really important public art, maybe you want to keep it for a project.
A call.
No.
Like, there are not the landing.
Not 17,000, will.
Mm-hmm.
The the landings have some space that they, could be
something
like a seat wall art installation. And so not the facade, but those landings have kind of a smaller scope that might be within 17,000, kind of like that.
Are we talking about the pedestrian that's at the Amtrak station?
Judy was, and she asked that be taken out because there's both development on one side and concern by the property owner on the other side. So
because there's so much major art right there.
Yeah,
to begin with, we wouldn't want it.
Yeah.
How distracting.
So that's been the request. Amtrak, and now we're transitioning to the South Bayfront Bridge as an alternative to be added to this set of lists, particularly the ends of it where there's maybe no seating and just kind of new spots.
It's tough to have seating around there because of all the bikes going on the trail. So
the other way. Okay. Not currently in the presentation, don't need to add them. So it's the budget and the site as here, understanding that we would from the business license. Okay.
You can vote now.
Yes. Okay. Ronald.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Rick.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
That's it for your action items, but you have an information item that you had asked to have come back to you. And RCCD has begun fabrication of some internal elements.
At the end, those right big phone
calls? Yeah. Okay. They have listened to some feedback that they got regarding making sure there's more intentionality about the crack, that it now reflects the greenway, that the glass mosaic would bring in the notion of having a wall. that the plant that had been, it felt like there wasn't a native element, and the industrial component was too omnipresent to reflect the plant that is already there, the Alostrata, to match the surrounding area. They're working with Plant Design, which is a local Emeryville company for the for planting that come out of the top. That the granite circular element is now too smaller, so more like a cairn found in nature. And so it's here as an informational item because we didn't want to delay the delivery of that project, but you wanted to have be able to look at it, know if there were any concerns. Certainly if you're like, whoa, that was not what we expect, you know, we would hear that and go talk to them. But I think the understanding there was a little how much review is needed.
But the scale has gone down?
Nope, the scale's the same.
Okay. But we're gonna have those that color.
It's going to, I think this is a rendering in paint of what it is, but rather they're trying to come up. If you see to the left, found in nature, they're trying to have
petals. And that's that palette, otherwise it doesn't seem monumental, it's just a painting.
Right, no, I think that, I'm sorry, are you saying that you're concerned that the pebble mosaic?
No, no, you... the whole painting.
I can't read it as a monument, but so these are front panels, and we just don't see the 3D, just right. The frontal right. View.
Because your motion prior was to just review the change in the facade.
Okay.
This is just the facade.
All right, so this is the painting. Is it going to be a painting in front?
No, it's going to be a pebble mosaic.
And the blue would be that turquoise color right there? Yeah.
It would be that grass. Fine. That's right. So it's not, I think, and the color palette as rendered here would actually be small pebbles done in mosaic that match the more burnt red of the flower that is adjacent to it than this bright orange that you're seeing.
The guavi is stagnant. Yeah.
They would be stump natural. Stone.
Yeah, I think this is a fairly quickly done rendering. But the materials will be our productive meetings always kill my computer. And so is there feedback you'd like the artist to have about this? There's no action to be taken, but is there any feedback you'd like the artist?
For me, they picked a good thing for me. That's the plant that really likes to live here. Is a succulent aguavi.
I feel like that you can still see through it.
As soon as we're gone, it'll take over.
any other comment to give to the artist? Or it is intended to be installed for Art and Culture Month. And October 18th, I think, was the draft date, maybe?
16th.
I wish, Denver, this is what it's going to be now, but originally we saw that to different metal and wood and stone.
Yes, and that's on the other side of it. It's still going to be. You approved it, and they said, great, we're fabricating, that's going forward.
So that tree part is already on the other side.
This is the back.
Back.
This is the solely the one facade that you said, we're not so sure what you're proposing there. Can you bring it back to us? Because we like that tree, we like the wood with the concrete, and that's all my...
That would be on the corner. That would be at the intersection. The wood would be at the intersection.
Yes.
And the painted side would be
on the Sutter side. It is not painted. It is
glass mosaic. Pebble mosaic would be on the Sutter side.
The facade you were just looking at. Be facing.
Well, I think that would be really pretty for the walkway.
Yeah. My computer just died, so I cannot present you. It's 7:15. You do have updates in the updates that have occurred regarding the Art Center and the RCD. And I've always said, well, that's where you're going to hear about them. So if you want to hear about those, you should let me know. And then the projects. But mostly with RCCD is everything that's happening and Art and Culture Month. And on September 16th, there'll be a proclamation acknowledging Art and Culture Month here in Emeryville and Art and Humanities internationally.
So who has residency now?
The residency now is Fernanda Martinez.
So go by and see his work if you get a chance.
Her work. And she, I think, is going to be providing a sculpture at the end of her residency.
Cool.
And she has a new mural installed on 4400 San Pablo.
Right. So what's happening in September there?
Jennifer Mazuka, who will also have her work in the bus shelter at the same time.
Very good. So,
Jennifer Mott.
And October is the Emeryville
Public Art as process. So Vicky Jo is curating a bevy of artists. Do you want to name some of them?
So what's going
to have their work in the...
I'll be not here. I'm so sad.
It's all of you. You're all gone that month?
So sad. From 1st to 30th, I'm gone.
How public art is made, the sausage show. Come and see how it's made. So a lot of all Emeryville art. Come see how the sculpture was made.
So you have the different works from the public artists?
I'll have the pictures of the public art and public artists who have stepped out.
Oh,
how can have their work. So it'll be dynamic. It'll be good.
Yeah.
But there's so many things happening that month.
Yes, so many things.
So the Emeryville Celebration of the Arts opens.
Yep. And then Harvest Festival the next day with a live mural thing in the community garden. Open doors and exhibitions include the Pixar Beyond the Lamplight art show at 459 Gallery, the first show of that community gallery ever, on Friday night the 10th. Then Play With Your Feud, a marquee event with Jared's Pottery. Then walking tours start that Sunday and go all the next week with tours by myself, by Judy, by people who have done it from the Berkeley Historical Society, by John Bowders, by Celeste Burr, you know, lots of different, and one by shuttle for the lighted sculptures in town at night. And then the public process that Vicky Jo was just talking about curating and has an opening show.
There's going to be a panel with the artists and with the arts administrators from Oakland, Richmond, people who do the public art, administrate the public art for those cities.
So many things happening in 1 month.
I know, it's too much in 1 month, I tell you.
And then
it's back in March.
You're going to be every weekend.
And the last weekend will be a marquee event at Rug Depot, just there, with a show called Emeryville Interplay, which will be immersive collaborations between technology and artists. Those will be exhibits. And then maybe some bands, which I don't know if they've dropped that. And then closing of the month with the celebration of the art show closing and the poetry reading that happens with bands and enthusiastic poetry and music there at the Fulton.
And next November is a show by curator Tracy Stroth. Is that Tracy's last name? I can't remember. Scott Donahue's wife. She is doing a show about anxiety in our times. She curated a really good show about COVID. And so she's creating a show about anxiety.
Is that Bay Street?
I'll be here in Melbourne. Yes, I knew there'll be a lot of anxiety there.
So I hope you make a lot of videos of everything.
But Tomek has been hired by ABG to do videos and really well. On the event space of the Rock City Cultural District, there is all of those videos are posted. So it lists this run of show that I just read to you. And then after that are those videos that
I'll come back and see those.
So what's happening on the Arts Center? Anything besides?
So the Arts Center, on September 16th, so the same day that I'm due, or maybe it's the second. No, I think it's on the second. The contract for a new consultant to work on development proposals, you know, fundraising, development for the Art Center is moved forward. Second, I will say that ABG Art Group is very excited about Rugby as a potential turnkey art center location.
So is Rug Depot going out of business?
Empty. Oh, it is. It's empty, and they're offering free space to have people come see how it gets used.
And how big is it? It's really big?
Does it have windows?
Windows, but that doesn't matter in an art center.
It's a very
You don't really care about windows next
door. But it could be half the space because Kelly Ording, a muralist, has two pieces here in Emeryville, is part of a Bay Area roller derby collective. And they are trying to take half of it as the Roller City Rollers.
But we would get the space for free?
It is unlikely that a long-term relationship would be for free, but they are offering it for the Rotten City Culture.
So which building is that?
It's right
across from Target.
Two blocks that way.
Oh, okay.
The roller derby people, the ones that were out at the Craneway,
I'm not certain, but they were. I don't know that was their home. I think they were in Oakland, but they
the Bay Bombers way back then.
What?
Oh yeah.
The Bay Bombers.
Yeah.
Remember that? That's good news. So
that is the update for that. And 40th, you had actions. Visual arts, you had actions.
Can you send me her email?
Yes. I don't.
The 40th Street artist.
PJ Chan?
Uh-huh. Okay. Sure. So I can get her to just send me her most updated thing on what she proposed.
But she hasn't proposed something new. What do you want from her?
Well, she might want to send me the most current thing she has that she's working on, or a statement about what she's working on. I'll tell her.
Have you seen her website? So you want a coordinator for the October show?
Right. And I want her to pick out what she wants to send me. Or say, we go through her process just like right now.
Right. Because you have the posters, right? Okay, now I understand. And so I don't know if we wanted to ask for announcements.
Do we have any announcements? I have a comment.
Very tentative minor report on the longest stuff, but I had a short meeting with one of the two major figures, the Ohlone tribe, Deja Gould, who said they're interested in the idea and they would like about a major Ohlone art piece, and they would like to have a discussion about it. It's sort of open ended. I don't know.
With the pack as a body.
Well, that's a good question because I don't know. I'm going to try and clarify that.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, because it was pretty vague at that point. They definitely would want it. Find out what we have to do, and they may have some ideas of what you think about. So let me see, let me figure out what that means. Okay. Anyways, progress.
My comment is just a compliment. Our new website for the city looks fantastic. It's easy to find our public art information, so job well done. Thank you.
Yes, this just went live last week. We just had our first QA on what were broken. And the only thing for the art was the form that somebody else needed to make the form that was the link. But otherwise, I think it's connecting through.
Function.
We really tried, Vicky Jo, I want to thank you for giving feedback about this, but we really tried to highlight if you're an artist seeking funds, where all those calls are and how you get them and have that in one place. And so it's now organized. I tell you as a user might care about the art and organizing. Thank you for your review and comment. And
well, I was very excited to get that email.
So you'll have more entries this year.
Also, I specifically made the notify me For public art and for the Rotten City Cultural District, which has never existed before. So if people are interested in getting on our news list, they can do it through that and have a back end list of priorities. So the improved functionality.
That's great.
Yeah. I will say the one thing, like if you had bookmarks, like you're like, oh, I have my favorites, the Emeryville Public Art, it will be broken. And so you'll need to refresh. If you're like, oh, I always go back to the bus shelter. If you have, you're hearing people, well, I went to the bus shelter and it's not there anymore. It says it's a broken page. They need to go to the new Emeryville page and in the search, say bus shelter, and then.
Oh, I'll fill them.
The QR codes on our bus shelters and bookmarks and maps have been redirected to this page. And that was something we had to do in real time. And so I bet that's been done now. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Good night.
We okay to adjourn? Okay. Fifth meeting of the Oxford Youth 2025 Emeryville Public Art Committee is adjourned at 7:28 p.m.
Yeah.